Turn with me now in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. The Gospel of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 43 through 45, but I want to begin reading in verse 37 for context, and then we'll read through verse 45. Now, as we come to God's Word, let us first come to Him in prayer. Let us ask Him to bless His Word to us. Let us pray. Oh God, we come now and we humble ourselves, knowing that this is Your Word. It is not the Word of man, but it is the Word of God. It is Your Word. You have given it to us, so that we might be equipped, that we might have everything that is necessary in this life for salvation. And now we desire to hear the voice of Christ speak to us through Your Word. Speak to us, change us, work in us by Your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, hear now the Word of God. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, and everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrites, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, His mouth speaks. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Here in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, Jesus uses the illustration of trees and fruit. But Jesus is not simply wanting to teach us about trees and about fruit. He's using this illustration to teach us about humans and about behavior. Each of us are like these individual trees. And as trees, each of us produce fruit. In fact, everyone is a fruit producer. There are no barren trees. It's never a matter of failure to produce fruit. But it's always a matter of what type of fruit you are producing. Our hearts are like factories. And what they produce depends upon the raw materials that we have stored up in them. I get most of my fruit from the grocery store. I go in and I go to the produce section. I might not know where this fruit comes from in the country or in the world, but I do know what the fruit comes from. I know that an apple comes from an apple tree. I know that a peach comes from a peach tree. But did you know that, like a grocery store, you also have a produce section? You have a produce section. It's called your behavior, what you say and what you do. And if I were to go into the grocery store of your life and I were to stroll around the produce section, would I find good fruit or would I find bad fruit? I want you to keep that in mind as we look at these verses today. Far too often we come to these verses and we read them, and we turn into what some have described as fruit inspectors. We forget what Jesus has just said. He has just told us not to look at the speck in our brother's eye, but to take care of the plank in our own eye. And yet we immediately want to go to work, identifying and inspecting everyone else's fruit. But the context here is clear. Jesus tells us and his disciples that we need to evaluate our own fruit. Now it is true, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, that false teachers are known by their fruit. And certainly we should evaluate false teachers by their fruit. But in this context, Jesus is teaching us not to identify false teachers and remove them from the church, but to identify false thinking in our own hearts. That's what needs to be removed. That's what needs to be taken out. In other words, we need to make sure that we are tending our own gardens before we go into our neighbor's yard and tell them how to care for their own garden. And as you evaluate your own heart today, I want you to remember this. You are what you produce. You are what you produce. And your heart is always producing something. Jesus begins here in verse 43. He says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." He talks of two types of production here. Good fruit, and he'll go on to identify that good fruit as figs or grapes. This fruit is helpful. This fruit is useful. But he also identifies another type of production, the production of bad fruit. He'll go on to describe that in verse 44 as thorns or a bramble bush. Thorns are harmful. Bramble bushes are useless. There are two types of production. But those two types of produce come from two different types of trees. We might say there are two different types of producers. There is a good tree and a bad tree. And Jesus equates this good tree and bad tree with good men and bad men. Jesus is not talking about agriculture here, but he's talking about the human heart. And when the Bible speaks of the heart, it speaks of the whole man, the inner being of the person. What drives a person, the core of a person, is their heart. And Jesus here says there are two types of producers. Some who produce good fruit and some who produce bad fruit. We see these two types of people referenced in Psalm chapter 1. We read of the blessed man, the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. In verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That is the Christian. That is the one who is in Christ. That is the one whose heart has been changed and is producing good fruit. But then we also have these bad trees that bear bad fruit, thorns, bramble bushes. We see that they're identified also in Psalm 1. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. They are good for nothing. Good for nothing but to be blown away by the wind. So there are two types of production. Your heart is always producing something. It's either producing good or bad. You're either a good tree or a bad tree. But I want to talk with you quickly about two things about this production. In verse 43, Jesus speaks of a good tree. And a good tree that does not bear bad fruit. It is in the present tense. A good tree is not presently bearing bad fruit. Nor is a bad tree presently bearing good fruit. It's not about what you have done in the past. It's not about the sin that you have done in the past. It's about what is going on now in your life. Is your heart now being changed? And is your heart now producing those things by God's grace that are pleasing to Him? And it doesn't matter how much you are producing. I think the analogy or the illustration of trees is good here. Trees do not produce the same level of fruit all year round. In the spring and summer, trees produce a lot. But in the winter, trees, although they're not dead, they do not produce much. Sometimes you're going to be like that tree in the spring and the summer. You're going to be producing a lot of fruit. There are going to be times in your life that you're going to be like that tree in the winter. You're not producing much. But what Jesus tells us here is that every tree is known by its fruit. And even though you may not be producing much at a particular season in your life, one thing is true of everyone who is a good tree. Everyone who is a good tree will not produce negative, will not produce corrupt fruit. Your heart is always producing something. And it's either good or bad. But why do people produce the things they do? What makes the difference? Why does one person produce good and another person produce bad? Well, Jesus goes on and he tells us it's because of the seed that they have planted. Your heart is only producing what you have stored up in it. Jesus tells us this in verse 45. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. The word translated treasure there is the storehouse, the place of deposit. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus says here that every man's heart is always well stocked. It's either stocked with a good inventory or a bad inventory. Now, what does it look like to have good treasure in your heart? Well, the Bible describes that in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. Look with me at Galatians in chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we have that list of what is called the fruit of the Spirit. This is a picture of what that good man has stored up in that good treasure of his heart. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What a picture of good storage. Paul also brings this up in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Your heart is always well stocked. It's either stocked with this good inventory or it is stocked with bad inventory. Look with me at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, in verse 21, Jesus is speaking on what defiles a man. It's not, he says, what goes into a man. It's not what a man eats that defiles him, but it's what comes out of a man. And in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, he says this. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. What a contrast to that list that we read in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. You see, the heart is always well stocked. And it's either going to be stocked with these good things or it's going to be stocked with these evil things. And if someone is not bringing out on a consistent basis that fruit of the Spirit, then it is very likely that the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in them. And it will come out. A well-stocked heart cannot help but overflow. We see Jesus speaking of that here in Luke chapter 6 in verse 45. For out of the abundance, that is out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. In other words, you won't be able to keep your heart in. You will produce what you carry around in you. You will distribute to others what you have invested in your own heart. Have you ever had anyone come to your house unexpectedly? Maybe call and say, "We're on our way." And you think to yourself, "I have not prepared this house quick." And everybody starts running around trying to prepare your house. Well, I have been in that situation. And sometimes what we're tempted to do is cram everything in a room. We're tempted to find a room and just cram everything in there and shut the door and pretend like it doesn't exist. And I think this is a good illustration of how we attempt to hide our hearts from others. And we can all do a pretty good job for a while at being what I would call a heart concealer. We put on a good front, but it won't last. Yes, we tend to stuff everything into a side room and we lock the door. And we hope that when people see us, they won't realize what's in the back room. But that never works in the long run. That's what Jesus says here. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Your heart is going to tell on you. Over time, every person's heart will be seen. Not fully, but truly. It is a mistake to say, when we see a person who is consistently living outside the will of God, who is consistently rebelling against God, who is consistently failing to obey God, to say, "Well, I don't know about them. I can't see their heart, so they might be okay." So Jesus says that is not possible. The heart cannot help but overflow its bounds and pour out into the world, and it will be seen. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. People who are discontent have stored up discontentment in their heart. People who are angry have stored up anger in their heart. People who speak with foul language have stored up foul thinking in their heart. People who are continually selfish have stored up selfishness in their heart. And this is where you need to evaluate your heart. I need to evaluate mine. What have you stored up in your heart? What is your heart filled with? If I were able to come and take a tour of the storehouse of your heart, what would it look like? What have you been putting in there? Would you want others to see what you are cherishing in the dark corners of your heart? You may be able to hide it from people for a while. You'll never hide it from God, but eventually it will come out. What you put in your heart, what you store up in it will come out. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings out evil. Your heart is either going to be dominated by love for God, or it's going to be dominated by love for the world. Jesus is clear, you can only serve one master. But let me tell you what you need to put in your heart. As a Christian, you are to be being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 tells us. You are to be filled with, Philippians 1:11 tells us, the fruit of righteousness. You are to be thinking on things as Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 tells us. You are to be thinking on things that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are pure. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate. That is, think on these things. That is what you are to be putting in your heart. If you're putting in the fruits of righteousness, if you're thinking on these things, then as you put that in your heart by God's grace, that fruit of the Spirit that we read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 will start to flow out, because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. And this is important, because Jesus makes it clear here that what comes out of your mouth and out of your heart and overflows into your life is a good indicator of who you really are deep down inside. What your heart is producing reveals who you really are. Jesus says here that your words will reveal who you really are. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. There's a story that's told by Paul Tripp, and I love this story. He tells of a time when he and his brother were at a family reunion. His mom and dad had gone there, and he said his family reunions were very, very disorganized and very, very difficult to go to because much of his family were not Christians. He recalls this one family reunion. His mother was upstairs talking, and he and his brother were downstairs with his uncle, and his uncle had become drunk. And his uncle started talking about all sorts of lewd subjects. Well, word got to his mother upstairs, and he says it like this: "My mother came rushing downstairs. He grabbed my arm, and she grabbed my brother's arm, and our feet did not touch the floor as we exited that house." And he says that he'll never forget what his mother told him when they got to the car. She turned to him and his brother and said that there is nothing that comes out of the mouth of a drunk that was not already in his or her heart. In other words, the alcohol just loosened the lips. And what was in the heart came out. Have you ever said something that you wish that you had not said? I think we all have. Have you ever used the excuse, "I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I said it, but I didn't mean it." Well, I want to tell you that that is not a good excuse, and it's not even a true statement. You did mean it because you said it. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You opened the gate between your heart and your mouth, and the words flowed out quite naturally. What was in your heart came out. The problem is not that you didn't mean what you said, but that you wish you hadn't said what you meant. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But your words not only reveal who you really are, but also your works. Fruit here is not only a picture of words, but in the Bible, fruit is a picture of the product of all of a person's life. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. Reads, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Not simply the fruit of his speech, but the fruit of his doings. Not only what you say, but how you behave shows forth who you really are. What fruit are you bringing forth in your life? Is it that fruit the Bible calls fruit worthy of repentance? Is it fruit that sees sin as sin and turns from it? Is it the fruit of faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone and trusting in His Word? Not just a portion of it, but all of it. Is it that fruit of holy living in which you seek, not perfectly, but that you seek to live according to God's Word in every area of your life? Are you overcoming the world by God's grace? This is something that you're going to have to evaluate yourself on. But know this, if you are not producing good fruit, it is not simply a fruit problem. Jesus says that these two types of people are like two different types of trees, two completely different types of trees, with two completely different root systems. There are good trees and bad trees. There are fig trees and thorn trees. They are different. It's not a fruit problem, but it is a root problem. And you cannot simply just decide to start producing good fruit and go and do it successfully any more than a thorn bush can decide to become a fig tree and produce figs. Another story that Paul Tripp shares, and I think this is quite helpful. He talks about producing fruit. And he gives the example of an apple tree that was in his yard. And his wife, Luella, came to him and said, "This tree is not producing the kind of fruit that I would like to see. I want it to produce apples, and I want to make things with them." And so Paul Tripp says, "What if I went to the store, the grocery store, and I purchased a bunch of apples. And then I went to the hardware store, And I purchased a heavy-duty staple gun. And I came home and I spent all afternoon taking those nice red apples from the grocery store and that powerful staple gun and stapling them to the tree. And then when I was done, I called to my wife and I said, "Luella, come and look at this beautiful apple tree and the fruit that it is producing." He says that if he did that, his wife would come out and laugh at him, at his foolishness. It looked nice, but those apples were going to rot. They were not connected to the tree. He did nothing to change the tree. He only put artificial fruit on it to make it look good. And that's what we are often tempted to do. We think we can produce fruit apart from God's grace working in our hearts. And so we staple fruit on the tree. And it may last for a little while, but ultimately it doesn't continue year after year to bear fruit in our lives. No, we need help. We need help. We need to be changed from the inside. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 3. He says that you must be born again. You must be changed. And so don't hear this message and think, "I've got to do better. I've got to produce more fruit." Yes, we want to produce good fruit, but you have to understand that the only way that you can do that is if you are changed, if your root is changed by the power of God. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then He will work that fruit in you. And it will flow out of you, that abundance, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus in these verses teaches us about two trees, a good tree and a bad tree. The good tree bears good fruit, the bad tree bears bad fruit. But Jesus is not simply giving us a lesson on agriculture. He is teaching us about our own hearts. Jesus wants us to know that our hearts are producers. Each one of you will produce fruit. It's either going to be good or bad, depending upon what you have stored up in your heart. And it's true that no one can see the heart. Only God knows the heart, but it is also true that your heart will not remain hidden for long because it will overflow with both your words and your works. What you say to others, what you post online, what you type up in an email, all of these things are heart revealers. All of these things will show the world who you really are. In other words, you are what you are. Produce. The only question is, what are you producing? And so I want you to evaluate yourself. I want you to think over the last week, what have you put in the storehouse of your heart? What have you been allowing to come in? Is it in line with Philippians 4:8? Whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is lovely. And in the last week, what has come out of the storehouse of your heart? Is it in line with Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23? Is it that fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Do you see a connection between what goes into your heart and what overflows out of your heart? Do you see a place where you need to make a change? Do you see a place where you have been allowing things to come into your heart and take root, and they have been affecting that outflow from your heart? I pray that if you do, you will understand the truth of this passage, that you will come to God, that you will seek His forgiveness, that you will desire to have your heart changed so that as your root is redone by the power of God and His Spirit, the fruit that comes out of your heart will be pleasing to Him. May God use this teaching to help all of us become those who bring good forth out of the abundance of our hearts. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank You for Your Word. Now bless it to us and help us to know our own hearts. Help us to see what is coming out of the abundance of our hearts and whether it is good and bad. And help us to make the changes that are necessary so that we might do those things that are pleasing to You. Give us grace in this process. Be patient with us and forgive us for where we have not put those things and stored those things up in our heart that we ought to. Oh God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this time of worship, and we pray that You would receive all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.